Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, the big news of the day, the Bucks make the move, moving on from head coach Adrian Griffin. The announcement coming 6 hours ago that Adrian Griffin, no longer the head coach in the Milwaukee Bucks, 43 games was his tenure, a 30-13 record. You're going to see all the comparisons to David Blatt of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who went 30-11. There is no real comp for this. It was certainly an interesting situation that we knew the Bucks were going to be in with this hire and with the expectations. And all the chatter that we had for the last couple of weeks about some of the numbers that we had seen just seemed to come to a head. And today that announcement was made. And now the Bucks are in the search for a new head coach to guide them, hopefully, to a third championship and second in 4 years. There are a couple of names that continue to surface up there. We'll get to those. Get your thoughts as well. Who are you looking for and what are you looking for? Conversation that I did not anticipate we would be having here in January as the Bucks search for a new head coach. But joining us now to lend some insights on this, you've seen his reporting all throughout the day on this decision, what led to it, and to the Bucks as a whole all season long for the past few seasons. He is Eric Name of The Athletic. Eric, we had kind of talked about this before, but when you learned that this was happening, your reaction to this was what?
I think when you kind of look at all of this, when you look at all this season, it's just been a bit of a disappointment thus far. And I know from the outside, people look at it and say 30-13 record, second best record in the NBA, or at least tied for it with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And that'll be tough to believe, right? Like, first-year head coach, new head coach here in Milwaukee, and you're in that spot. You're just right behind the Boston Celtics. I think most people would say, all right, that's pretty good. You know, first half of the season, maybe some growing pains, and that's what we got. And I think ultimately the fact that it didn't feel like the Bucks were growing,
yeah.
I think the fact that it didn't feel like there was real progress being made in the last month or so is kind of where this started to fall apart for Adrian Griffin, where, you know, you look at some of the numbers. They're 6-5 here in the month of January. Their defensive rating in the month is 27th. You don't have to look too far back in their last few games that even though they're winning them, you know, you see 130-point nights, 140-point nights. You know, the other night they give up, 135 to the Detroit Pistons in a game that they squeak out a win. It's just not what I think you were hoping to see this season if you're Bucks ownership. And I think one of the big things is maybe that would have been acceptable in the first month of the year, right? Like, that's where, you know, you have these massive personnel changes. You have a big trade, Holiday out, Lillard in right before the season. Okay, maybe some of those things happen at the start of the season. But for those to be happening in the mid portion of the season, for them to be happening against the same team multiple times, you look at the Pacers and kind of what they were able to do over and over again to the Bucks. I just think all of that kind of builds up to a spot where the Bucks ownership group and John Horst just felt like it wasn't good enough. And no matter if the record was still good, no matter if the record was 30-13 and you're in second place in the Eastern Conference, all of those things that you were hoping for didn't look quite good enough. And you wanted to make a change and hopefully find someone that could better maximize the situation.
Obviously, the absence of Terry Stotts before the season started, too, played a big contribution to this, where you didn't have that kind of trusted veteran on the sidelines, on the bench with you. I know Joe Prunty is there, and that's who's handling things in the interim. But, you know, as people have kind of asked the question, too, of like, man, where do they go from here? That, to me, as people point out the comp to this in David Blatt, I mean, number one, David Blatt wasn't a one and done. He had years that he coached in Cleveland prior to that exit. But when you looked at that staff, too, you had Ty Lue, who maybe wasn't proven, but they strongly believed in him. And this that was the interesting part of this staff. Not only did you have an inexperienced head coach, but you look at some of the benches that Mike Budenholzer assembled, that wasn't what you had here. So it was almost like if we're not seeing this growth, we can't look to the bench to help as a stabilizing force either.
Yeah, I think obviously things are a little bit different if Terry Stotts ends up sticking around. And I think, you know, just you can say that from an outcomes perspective, right? Like maybe if Terry Stotts is around and Adrian Griffin and him are able to work well together, you know, maybe the offense comes around a little bit better. Maybe the defense comes around a little bit better. You know, maybe he is able to serve as kind of like that veteran voice that can help him through in the first year. Instead, you know, Griffin and Stotts don't see eye to eye. Stotts steps down from his position as the lead assistant coach with the Bucks, and then you do kind of have some of that void. And I think ultimately, you know, the schemes and kind of everything that the Bucks were trying to do just didn't come together in the way that I think ownership and John Horst were hoping. You look at what they were doing defensively, and I mean it's the fifth game of the season, and your head coach goes on national TV for a game on ESPN and says, you know, sometimes the players are smarter than the coach, and we needed to change the defensive scheme that we were running at the start of the season. And you just kind of look at those kind of warning signs throughout the season. You have that happening. You have Damian Lillard telling Adrian Griffin that he wants to play the whole first quarter, just like he used to do in Portland. You have the in-season tournament not go right. You have, you know, a report leak out about, you know, the Bucks trying to figure out what they're doing. You have Giannis in Houston on January 6th. Talking about what's our identity, what are we trying to do defensively, and you hear this impassioned speech, and then 2 days later, you see them get beat badly by the Utah Jazz, and you just kind of have all of these things throughout the season where this could have been a spot to turn it around, this could have been a spot to turn it around, this could have been a spot to turn it around, and instead of getting it turned around and learning from those experiences, it felt like it just kind of built. The negative energy, the negative momentum kind of built, and ultimately you got to the spot where this afternoon the Bucks make the decision to move on from Adrian Griffin.
What do you think is the timeline for when we've all seen the chatter around the leading candidates, and I think it's safe to say it's headed towards one specifically, but what do you think the timeline is for us to hear who the next coach is?
I mean, I think the Bucks are going to move pretty quick. This is an in-season move, and I think if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you don't, you know, kind of go down this road without thinking about who's taking over and having some idea if they're available, if they're ready to go. And obviously, in our story today at The Athletic, we talked about the fact that, you know, at the in-season tournament, Doc Rivers started serving as, you know, like an informal consultant for the organization, that, you know, after, you know, they play in Vegas, that he's talking to Adrian Griffin about different things that you could do and different things that you could try. So if you're talking about the familiarity he already has with the organization, it was stuff that he picked up in that role. And now if the Bucks are able to come to an agreement with him to become the head coach, then, you know, maybe he can build on some of that momentum he'd already built in that position. So, I mean, I don't think we will see it. Oh, man, I don't know if we'll see it before tomorrow night's game. The Bucks play Wednesday, Friday, Saturday here. But, I mean, if you're thinking about this, the Bucks want to move quickly. And, man, if you're looking at spots on the roster that you want to have stuff in place by, a five-game West Coast road trip is about as tough of a test as you can get. So I think if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you got to be thinking about, all right, we have our guy or gal, he's ready to go, and we can kind of start moving forward and prepare ourselves for really what's a really tough five-game Western Conference road trip that starts with the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, very tough. It starts on Monday. And again, the news of the day, the Bucks firing Adrian Griffin after 43 games to open up his coaching career. It's been a long day, I know, for you, Eric, and I'm sure there's still more that's coming out into the night. So I'll let you go, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Eric Name of The Athletic. Read his work there on The Athletic. You can follow him on X as well, Eric_Name, for the latest on the search for the new head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. But yes, that is where we sit on January 23rd. The Bucks searching for a new head coach with the dismissal of Adrian Griffin. Joe Prunty is taking over in the interim, and you could make a strong case this is Joe Prunty's time of year. We'll explain what we mean after this on Bucks Weekly. All right, I mentioned this is Joe Prunty's time of year. So Joe Prunty is taking over as the interim head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks after the move to terminate Adrian Griffin earlier today after leading the Bucks to a 30-13 record, second best record in the Eastern Conference. But as we just touched on with Eric Name, you didn't see that steady progress. And as much as I'm sure you get annoyed with me and others pointing out that this was always going to be a lengthy process and going to take some time. The other thing that you've probably heard enough of is the old phrase, not just in sports, everywhere in life, growth is not linear. And I think that's what we saw with this team, or you hoped that's what we saw. Because as Eric pointed out, you know, what we're seeing now in January, and it really, in fairness, started that weekend in New York against the Knicks. You won the first game on Saturday, December 23rd. You lost on Christmas Day. You bounced back and won the rest of the way up until January, and then ultimately lost two straight games to the Pacers. But from that point forward, we saw a pretty big step backwards for the defense, even the offense. They're scoring. The efficiency tailed off a little bit. And, you know, to that point that Eric made, if that's what we saw in November, December, and now you were starting to see what we were seeing earlier in December when the Bucks went on that win streak and had that homestand, and it looked like, okay, I know that the competition isn't the greatest, but this team is looking better. If you flip those, I don't think we're having this conversation. But because it was so herky-jerky and back and forth and you didn't continue to see that steady line of progression, I think that's ultimately what was the biggest undoing here. And the fact that this is a veteran team. This is a team that is not getting younger. None of us are ever getting younger. But you look at the age of Brook Lopez, of Chris Middleton, the contract situation, and when those deals come up for those two, for Giannis, for Damian Lillard, and you understand your time as a championship contender is very limited. It is precious. You can't waste any of these days, months, and years that you have this group assembled. And this was clearly a message that we believe we are wasting that time. And we don't know if this is the right group to lead us through the playoffs. But Joe Prunty is the interim head coach now, and it's the second time he has done this with the Bucks. It is the third time he has done this in the NBA. January 22nd, 2018, I was there at the Bradley Center waiting to hear from head coach Jason Kidd. When I, we knew he was fired earlier in the day. But I was still doing that studio host role with the Bucks, and we were at the Bradley Center. We got the news earlier in the day that Jason Kidd was fired. Joe Prunty was the head coach. That was on January 22nd, 2018. January 23rd, 2024, Joe Prunty is elevated to the interim head coach of the Bucks once more, where I believe in terms of the timing, right around the same time of day that Jason Kidd was fired versus, what, roughly 2 o'clock? That we got the Adrian Griffin news today. And you go back a year ago, I think it was February 21st, 2023. Nate McMillan fired in Atlanta. Joe Prunty elevated to the interim head coach of the Hawks until Quinn Snyder ultimately took over in March. So it's the third time in a span of 6 years that Joe Prunty is taking over right around this point on the calendar as the interim head coach of a team. And I do want to get into what's next for the team, because we have seen a number of names floated out there based off the conversation that we just had with Eric and the reporting by a number of other newsbreakers in Sham Sharania, Adrian Wojnarowski. It does seem as though we have kind of zeroed in on one candidate. So I do want to get into that. Timelines you could expect, what it means, your reaction to this as well, because this name, at least on social media, and I understand we can't take that as the pulse of every fan, but it does seem to be polarizing. So I do want to get into that after this on Bucks Talk. The big news earlier today, it was just over 6 hours ago that news came out the Bucks had moved on from Adrian Griffin. The afternoon after a win in Detroit against the Pistons, another one of those wins we talked about last night on the show, not the aesthetically pleasing win that you had hoped for. It was a good fourth quarter, but a 30-13 record, second best record in the Eastern Conference, and it's not to say that there was not flaws, but the Bucks moving on from Adrian Griffin. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Weekly. And let's head to the phones, catch up with one of our favorite callers. I'm very curious to get your thoughts on this one, Dick. When you heard the news that Griff was fired, your reaction was what?
I was surprised they're actually going to do it. I was in the middle of Woodman shopping. And that was the only fun part of it, talking with my son about this. But, you know, I take no pleasure in someone losing a job,
yeah.
Although he's got $12 million of consolation. But if you remember, Justin, early on, there was guys on the internet just blasting him. And I came on here and defended him, and you got to give him some time. But I think you could see early on that he was, I guess, over his head. I think one of the best, I listened to all the shows as many as I could, national, local, today, and I think one of the best analogies or descriptions is that if you didn't know the Bucks record and you watch several games, some they win, some they lose, show someone five games and ask them, what do you think their record is? They're going to say maybe 500, maybe a little bit below. As we talked the other night, the roughest schedule in the NBA is lying ahead of us. And the easiest schedule is for Boston.
Yep.
I think this was the perfect time to do this. I mean, we dropped from 20. I mean, at one point we were at 18 in defensive rating, then 22, then 27. The second most thing I thought about is that somebody on the radio today talked about his friends and saying, you know, Jesus, Brooke Lopez, he's done. He just doesn't have it anymore. And the guy countered with that, well, I don't think it's Brooke. I think it's the system. And you can't squeeze a square peg into a round hole. And I think that's what he did, because I don't think he had the experience. You know, I think when the players went to him and said, you know, we want to play a different defense, how far do you think they would have gotten with Bud? You know, it's a mixture. I think it's a combination of things, but I think the timing is right. It's going to be harder than heck for us to win 75% of our remaining games, which I think it's going to take to get in the second position. And if you weren't going to do it now, we were doomed for failure. And that's my belief.
Yeah, I pretty much echo most of what you said there. I mean, first and foremost, again, nobody's celebrating anybody losing their job, regardless of what the payout is on it. It is an incredibly difficult schedule remaining. It is the most difficult that's left in the league. It's basically the Bucks, the Suns, and the Blazers that are all essentially the same in terms of their opponent win percentage that's remaining. But the Celtics have the second easiest schedule left. The Sixers are right in the middle of the pack. The Cavs have the 10th easiest schedule remaining. So it's not just the separation between you and Boston, which I think you alluded to, that you got to be concerned with. It's okay. It gets incredibly challenging for this Bucks team. That's not the case for Philly. That's not the case for a Cavs team that's been red hot. And Cleveland has two games with you starting tomorrow. They're only two games back of the Bucks in the loss column. So if those go south, all of a sudden you're down to the spot where here in January you're already slipping to fourth place, and that schedule is only going to increase. So I think you're right about the timing, and this is why we saw it, and probably especially, look, as much as you don't want to lay this on any opponent, I'm sure part of it too is this weekend series with the two games against the Pistons is big, because we got to see this team moving in the right direction. And these are games we need to see the optics. We need to see blowout wins, and we need to see everything looking like what we envision this looking like. And when you didn't see that, I think that was a big impetus of it's only going to get more challenging, and I just don't know if we're headed in the right direction.
Yep, I agree. I mean, it's really, I think for the fans, to me, it's a win-win situation. We weren't seeing what we needed to see with the talent we have on this team. I look every day, maybe it's crazy, but I compare the Celtics box score to ours, and many times we're similar, including the bench. In fact, many times our bench does better. But something that with the tough schedule they had, they produced. With the easy schedule we had, we lost some games we just shouldn't have lost, or we didn't get a chance to rest our starters. It's a total thing that needs to change. And maybe the next guy in, who I think might be Doc, I think just the change always makes a difference. And he knows how to work with stars, and he knows what it takes to win. Now, X and the Nose, you know, my son said the same thing. He's not the best X and the Nose guy. But you know what? How many times does, Griffin always said, oh, we got to watch film. Yeah, Giannis and Dame and Brooke and Chris has watched so much film. I'm not so sure it makes a difference. They see what's in front of them. If they screwed up, they don't need to see a film of that again. And I think that's where Doc, if he's the one chosen, is going to make a difference, because he knows how to relate to these guys in real terms with experience behind him.
So if you were in charge of leading this coaching search, is that who you would hire?
I would interview Doc. I'd interview Terry Stubbs. I'd interview him because of his relationship with Damian. I think the general consensus of the shows that I heard today, they think Doc would be the best choice with Stott second. I don't know who else is out there. You sure the heck can't give it to a guy that hasn't coached before, has only coached 1 or 2 years.
Yeah,
you need someone that's been there. We've done the first-year coach thing. And, another thing that I heard today is that you have to admire the Bucks organization.
To move on from it.
For coming out and moving on from it. And one of the comparisons is that the Packer organization, they still can't decide on what to do with Joe Barry. It should be he's gone. It's easy. And that's what you need to have. That's what happened here, and you got to applaud the Bucks for it. Luckily, we've got 3 billionaires and a near billionaire. We're paying $12 million, probably isn't going to hurt us. But if it would be just one owner, Mark Antanasio owned this, we wouldn't be making this change.
No, it's a good point. Thanks for the call, Dick. And, also, the $12 million, it may not hurt per se, but the Bucks are going to be paying 3 head coaches. Like, they're going to hire a coach. I would assume, I agree with Eric, I would assume it's going to be this weekend at the latest. It's going to be sometime in the next couple of days. You will be paying that coach. You will be paying Adrian Griffin for the next, I believe, 3 years beyond this. You're still paying Bud. So it does add up. I asked Dick, though, and I'm curious to hear from the rest of you, if you're in charge of this coaching search, number one, what are you looking for? But also, who's the name? Who is out there? Who's the name that you would choose as this next head coach of the Bucks coming in the middle of the season? That's the challenge with this, is the timing of all of this. I'll get into the difference between a young team versus a veteran team and the whole timing behind this decision. But I think we all have a good idea of who we feel like it's going to be. Who would you choose? 855-616-1620 is the number to join us. More after this on Bucks Weekly. So that last point we had mentioned with Dick, you can't move from going from Mike Budenholzer to Adrian Griffin, who had never been a head coach before. You can't go from that to another inexperienced coach. So that's why Joe Prunty is doing this in the interim, but that's why when we say there's nobody in-house that you would turn to, that's what we mean by that, right? When you look at the bench of Patrick Mutombo and Trevor Gleason, who just joined, Josh Oppenheimer, Vin Baker, you don't have anybody there that has been a head coach in the NBA, and you can't move from one extreme to another and stay at that extreme. You're going to shift closer back to where you were previously. And I also think if this was a younger team, if this was, Giannis at 26 years old and Dame not quite 30 yet, you know, Brooke Lopez and Chris not in their 30s. If this was a younger team, you would have more of a leash to say, okay, we'll just go the interim for the rest of the year here, and then we can open us up a full coach search process in the offseason. You can't really do that because of the way that this team is constructed. Number one, it is a veteran team. It is an older team. And also, this, realistically, this year may be the last best chance that you have to win a championship, because of not just the age of this roster and the fact that next year, Brooke Lopez, obviously 1 year older, same for Chris Middleton, same for Dame, same for Giannis, and so on. But, you know, July 1 is when those restrictions kick in with the second apron. You can't combine salaries. You can't say we're going to take player X that makes $7 million and player Y that makes $4 million. We'll ship that out of town for a player that makes $11 million. You can't do that anymore. You can't send out cash in deals where it's, we'll give you a pick in cash and you give us this player. It limits the amount of money you can bring back in a trade. It's usually 125%. It's going to shrink down to 110% for those teams. It limits the amount of players or the type of player, I should say, you can sign via the buyout market. And it has to do with the contract that they were on prior to their buyout. So there are handcuffs that are placed on you. And that is the other reason why. Right now, it is imperative that we get going. So you have to search for what is the best that we can get right now. And I think that comes down to a handful of names, maybe three, four names. Doc Rivers is the one that is getting the most attention. And as soon as Doc Rivers took that job with ABC and did not take a coaching job, I think everybody knew. Doc Rivers, Bud is another one. These are the guys that are, they're going to be the hot commodities next year of when something opens up, we'll go after these guys. Terry Stotts is an interesting one. Was on your staff, abruptly left a week before the season. Don't really know the details of what happened there. I think we can read between the lines, but Terry Stotts is certainly one that brings that relationship with Damian Lillard. He brings that offensive mind. And, you know, as much as we talk about Terry Stotts as an offensive coach, kind of lost in the shuffle of things is, I'm not going to suggest he was the best defensive coach in the league or one of them, but he had respectable defenses when he was in Portland with Damian Lillard, with C.J. McCollum in the backcourt, two players that you wouldn't really say these are defensive stalwarts. So Terry Stotts is one that would certainly be an interesting choice. Kenny Atkinson is currently an assistant coach on the Warriors staff. We know he was a finalist for this job, along with Nick Nurse. So that is another one of those interesting choices that is going to be out there. But given the amount of reporting that has been around it, Doc Rivers seems like he is the leading candidate and most likely guy to be coaching the Bucks. I would assume, we asked Eric name timeline, I would assume whoever it is will not only be announced, but will likely be on the sidelines for that game 6 days from now in Denver. When you start that road trip, it's Nuggets, the Blazers, and you got the Suns on that road trip.
Dallas.
Dallas, another one. So you got tough game after tough game on this upcoming road trip. I mean, Portland is really the game you would point to and say, that's the winnable game that's on there. It's a tough five-game swing. It's all in the Western Conference. I know Dallas is out there, but it's all Western Conference teams. A lot of it is out west. I would assume you're going to have the coach in place for them. We're going to hear from John Horst tomorrow. So John Horst is going to speak to the media at 5:15. The Bucks play at 7 o'clock tomorrow. It's interesting because 5:15 is the time slot that is reserved for the head coach to speak to the media. I would assume we'll hear from Joe Prunty as well. I don't know that we'll hear a coaching hire tomorrow. I think a lot of people have kind of rushed to that judgment. I don't know that that's the case. I think this is more just, look, we got to hear from John Horst, and tomorrow this time is when we would hear from the coach. We only have an interim coach now. Let's kill two birds with one stone. John Horst will speak to the media then. And it's going to be fascinating to hear some of the answers that we hear from John Horst in terms of the timeline, what led to this decision, what they are looking for specifically, what type of input are they taking, the reports that came out of Doc Rivers consulting with this team, what prompted that, and how much has that increased his chances. So we'll get all those questions and more answered from John Horst tomorrow. But in the meantime, it certainly does feel like it's going to be Doc Rivers. So I do want to talk a little bit about Doc because, again, as I mentioned, I know it doesn't speak for the majority of Bucks fans, but it does seem to be a very polarizing name on social media. So who exactly is Doc Rivers, the coach? I think most of us are well-versed with who Doc is, the media personality, and certainly if you are a Marquette fan, you know about Doc Rivers, the player. But Doc Rivers, the coach, we'll examine it a little more after this on Bucks Weekly. All right, so it certainly appears it's a short list of candidates, and we've seen multiple reporting now from Woj, from Shams, from a number of people. Eric Name was involved in that report as well. The Bucks have, according to those two sources, reached out and had communications with Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers, of course, last coached in Philadelphia with the 76ers, and you know we've already seen all of the here's the amount of 3-1 and so on series that Doc Rivers' coach team did not go on to win. The biggest asset that Doc Rivers would bring to this team, Doc Rivers, and I'm not saying that he is Phil Jackson, but similar to Phil Jackson, Doc Rivers knows how to manage personalities, superstar players, and egos. And a lot of times you can misconstrue ego and assume it's a bad thing. Everybody has some form of an ego. Doc Rivers has extensive experience at managing that. And we talked about going from an inexperienced coach to what is the one thing this team needs. You need that experience. You need a guy that has worn the whistle, that has been in those spots, that has been through some big moments. And again, Doc Rivers got to those spots. You can talk about, yeah, but his team lost a 3-1 lead a number of times, a 3-0 lead a couple of times. He still got to those spots. That was not a certainty with Adrian Griffin. He hadn't been there before as a head coach. Doc Rivers has won a championship, and he's been the head coach of a team in two NBA finals. That, to me, is the biggest selling point with Doc Rivers. And it does certainly seem like that is far and away the leader in the clubhouse. There was another report, I believe, from Chris Haynes that mentioned a few other names as possible candidates. If that were to not happen, Kenny Atkinson, who was a finalist over the summer, Nate McMillan, who we mentioned was replaced by Joe Prunty on the interim basis last year with the Atlanta Hawks, Jeff Van Gundy was another one of those names. So the thing about all those names They have all been head coaches before. They are all veterans. And as we just mentioned prior, save for Jeff Van Gundy, well, Kenny Atkinson as well, but the rest of those names, they have not only extensive head coaching experience, they are also former players. And we heard consistently the chatter of the importance of that when this team was searching for their coach over the summer to replace Mike Budenholzer. But more on Doc Rivers and the latest on what we're seeing from Shams Charania and Woj. We'll get into that as we wrap up the show after this on Bucks Weekly. Well, not the day that many of us expected, or the show that we expected 6 hours ago, but rehashing the events of the day as the Bucks moved on from Adrian Griffin and now continue their search for a new head coach. Doc Rivers seems to be the most likely candidate, and I mentioned Shams Charania, the first on this, in a report with Sam Amick and Eric Name, who we caught up with earlier in the show. Doc Rivers is the leader to become the new head coach of the Bucks. The sides are working towards a deal, a league source tells that trio. We've seen a similar report from Adrian Wojnarowski. Along came the news that around the time of the in-season tournament, Doc Rivers began consulting with the Bucks. As according to that story and report that I mentioned from Shams, from Sam Amick, and from Eric Name, which you can read in The Athletic, the Bucks had reached out in hoping Doc Rivers was a guy that they could lean on as somebody to basically mentor and help Adrian Griffin through his first time as a head coach. And things escalated to the point where you got the sense we kind of need to move swiftly and do something now. And look, that is the biggest takeaway for me, is this organization's willingness to correct a move that they deem was incorrect, right? To swiftly take a stand and make a movement here to say, we can't just ride this thing out. If we're going to make a change, we know that our window is very limited here. We can't waste a year. We got to make this move now. It's not anything you see happen too often. Again, we mentioned David Blatt is probably the comp that'll come up the most. He was 30-11 when the Cavaliers fired him. The asterisk there being, I believe that was his third season coaching Cleveland when they fired him. That was not his first. And it was always an interesting fit, to say the least, that you had this veteran team with championship expectations. And you bring in a guy that hadn't been a head coach before. It's not to say you can't be successful. We have seen Ime Udoka. Granted, you didn't have championship expectations when that season began, at least outwardly, but Ime Udoka proved to be a very good coach his first season in Boston and continues to be. But where the Bucks go from here, it seems as though it's going to be Doc Rivers, but that is still unofficial, and we wait and see now. Again, we will hear from John Horst tomorrow at 5:15. The Bucks play the Cavaliers, first of two games, 7 o'clock tip at Fiserv Forum. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. It should be an interesting one, and maybe one where we will have more news. We will talk to you tomorrow night on Bucks Talk.